Hello, everybody, and welcome. My name is Ryan Gromfin, and I'm a restaurant consultant, author, speaker, chef, restaurateur, and the creator of Restaurant Profit and Performance Group, Restaurant Coaching Club, and TheRestaurantBoss.com. Over the next 7 days, covering 8 CBs, I'm going to teach you how to dramatically increase your restaurant's profit and performance through this program titled The Restaurant Owner's Roadmap. We'll cover very specific strategies to target your ideal customers, advertise to them effectively, create a reputation that will crush your competition, and how to create and implement proven systems for smooth daily operations, as well as lead, but more importantly, motivate your staff, a staff that you might not think is reaching their potential. A quick warning here, this program is created for restaurant owners and operators. The program is designed to be used in conjunction with the online training programs and resources for yourself and your staff. As you go through this program, you'll be able to find the resources available at therestaurantboss.com. They'll be somewhere there for you to log into your membership portal. Don't get overwhelmed or fearful as you progress through this program. We're going to cover a ton of information, but in the last CD, I'm going to outline the exact steps. I'm going to help you create the map so you can implement all this new learning and how you can use the membership online programs and courses to help you and your staff get involved in the process. Again, if you purchase this program direct from me, your resources are available at therestaurantboss.com. If you were given this program to listen to by a friend, that's okay. I'm glad you're here. You can create your own membership at therestaurantboss.com as well. Over the next 7 days and 8 discs, you'll learn the exact steps, strategies, systems, and procedures I teach my clients so they can achieve higher levels of success and freedom in their restaurants. This is the exact roadmap I share with them, and I'm so excited that you're here right now listening and going through the program with me. I call this the Restaurant Owner's Roadmap because it's designed to be a step-by-step training program, and yes, a workshop. That means I'm going to ask you to do some work here. But there's a focus on your marketing, operations, finances, and leadership skills that it takes today to run a highly successful restaurant. I've designed the program to be 7 days long, so you can listen to this in just 1 week. All I'm asking for is an hour a day, except for marketing. There's so much information there. It's on 2 CDs. So what I'd really love for you to do is to listen to 1 CD and then do the exercises, and then the next day, listen to the next CD and do the exercises, et cetera, until you get through the program. I know life can get in the way sometimes, and you might have to skip a day here or there, but if you can, do your best to listen to this program day after day after day. The information builds on itself, and I think you'll find it really valuable to just be able to listen to it with smooth continuity from day to day, so you don't find yourself having to go back and try to remember information. You know, success has a different meaning to everybody. So this program's not simply designed to make you more money. Don't worry. If that's what you're here for, we're going to spend plenty of time and go into possibly too much detail on how you can make more money in your restaurant. But for some of you, it's not just about money. Some of you, it's about having time with your kids or your spouse. Some of you might want to open up another location and have realized that there's no way you could because your current location can't run without you. Some of you might be happy with where things are right now, but you want to take a vacation and be able to turn off your cell phone for a weekend or a week. Whatever your reason for being here and listening to me right now, deciding to commit your precious time and resources to this audio training program is a serious decision, and I want to honor you. I can tell you, after working with restaurant owners from all over the world, the greatest obstacle you're going to face during this program is belief. Belief that you're able to do some of the things I'm going to ask of you. Belief that your employees will respond positively and not fight you every step of the way as you make changes. Belief that your customers will pay more for your food than you think they will. Belief that the short-term added efforts of the next 7 days will pay off for the rest of your life. Some of you will have to let go of the belief that your restaurant is different, that you are different, that your employees are different. No matter where in the world you're listening to me, I need you to have faith and trust that though certain specifics are different, we are all the same in many ways. I teach my same systems to owners in India as I do in Indiana, and they work just as well. Whether you operate a Michelin star restaurant with check averages close to $100 a person, or are slinging burgers in a greasy mall restaurant. I've worked in both, operated both, and have clients in both. The basic principles are the same. I expect you to put your personal spin on things and make it your own, but I also want to encourage you to pull scripts or campaigns right out of this training, word for word. You have my permission. Deciding to learn something new and challenge yourself isn't always easy, so please do not take this process lightly. This is serious stuff, and I want to make you a promise right now. I'm going to bring it with all my energy, excitement, and knowledge for the next 7 days. I'm not going to hold back anywhere. I'm going to share with you everything I've learned and put into practice either for myself or with my clients that have brought them amazing results. I'm going to go under the hood at multiple restaurants and reveal to you the truth about what it takes to own, manage, and operate a highly successful restaurant business. That's right, I said business. You'll hear me say that a lot because I find too many owners don't always think of their restaurants as businesses. They run them, well, like a restaurant. They're constantly putting out fires, reacting to situations, relying on hope instead of proven strategies and gut feelings instead of market data. Honestly, it's why the corporate chains are taking over the industry and making it more difficult for you to succeed out there. Frankly, they're kicking the independents' butts. Have you ever said or heard any of the following in your restaurant? I hope the restaurant is busy this week. I hope we get more reservations. I hope this is a better year than last year. I hope we can make payroll next week. I hope they don't put another restaurant in that vacant spot across the street. If you said to one of your cooks over a beer one night, I hope we can make payroll next week, would that person feel certain about her job? Would they come in the next day with confidence and willingness to go above and beyond, or would that completely deflate her? You may not even be aware of how many times you say the word hope in your day-to-day operations. Hopefully, you don't say it out loud, but I'm certain you say it to yourself or to your spouse, maybe even your managers. Your managers probably use the word hope with you. Hope is not a strategy. At least it's not a good one. Instead, I want you to think of every strategy and procedure discussed in this program as a button or a lever you could push or pull at any time you need. If you have an event coming up, I'm going to share with you the exact steps you need to take and the strategy you need to deploy so that it's a successful event every time. Hope is a weak word. We use it when we either don't know what to do or for some reason we aren't doing it. If you have sold anything, then you know it's generally a game of numbers. The better the strategy, the better the product, price, and market conditions can increase your closing ratio. But it's still a numbers game. Get in front of a certain amount of people, narrow it down to qualified leads, then close. But you know as well as I do that a certain amount of salespeople will never be successful because they never get off their butts and talk to people. They're hoping that the phone will ring, or they're hoping that somebody will walk into their business or their restaurant. In the second CD, we'll go into far more detail about what it really means to be a restaurant owner as opposed to an employee of your restaurant or a micromanager who needs to be involved in every decision. This easily leads to becoming exhausted from working all day, every day, in what feels more like a job than owning a business. We'll cover in detail the strategies to convert your restaurant into a business that can operate with or without you. So you can take some time off, go to your kids' soccer games, travel with the family, or go on dates with your spouse again. After all, isn't that why you decided to open up a restaurant anyways? In the third CD, it's going to be all about leadership and management. I'm going to bring to light many of the commonalities great leaders share and then boil it down to steps you can take and the words you can use to get your young and, dare I say, unmotivated staff to complete assignments and do what you want them to do on time and accurately. In many ways, this is possibly the most important day in our training. Without this skill and ability to lead and influence your coworkers, managers, and staff, the best ideas and strategies will just fail. The restaurant business is not a business that can be operated alone, so you must rely on not just your employees, but also your vendors to help you execute on your vision. In the fourth and fifth CD, we're going to focus on marketing. I'm going to teach you how to discover what your customers really want and how to turn them into raving fan customers, the kind that do your marketing for you and tell everybody how amazing your place is. But we're also going to dig deep into what kind of advertising works for today's consumers. And most importantly, your reputation and how that is being affected by websites like Yelp and TripAdvisor. In the sixth CD, the focus is going to take a look at operations. I'm going to share with you why hiring and onboarding your employees properly is the most important thing you can do, plus what systems you need to have in place with your front of the house, back of the house, and office staff. This way, you'll set them up for flawless service day after day, so you're free from reacting to situations to get more proactive and work on your business, not the restaurant. The seventh CD, we're going to shift gears a bit and get really technical with your finances. We're going to dive deep into them and bust a lot of the myths you've been told about your food or labor cost. And I'm going to share with you that in reality, there are only a few numbers you need to be concerned with, how to account and report for them. I'll make understanding restaurant finances simple and kind of fun. Then finally, I didn't think the program would be complete without some training and tips on getting the most out of yourself. For some of you, that might be more time to do work, but for the vast majority of others, it'll probably be more time to spend with your family. Maybe you need more energy or need to alleviate some of the stress at work or even at home. Whatever it is that you want more of, at the end of the day, we all have 24 hours and 60 minutes in each of those hours. Time is the great equalizer from everybody. I want to share with you a program I call Double Your Days, and it will literally, well, double what you can do in your day. See, I designed this program to be listened to over 7 days. I'm so excited to share all of this with you because on a personal level, it's become my mission to help you navigate this difficult industry, an industry that's been around forever and yet most of us struggle through it day to day. An industry that's created so much wealth and freedom for a select few and has chewed up and spit out the vast majority. One that drives people to drink in excess and abuse drugs or take home anger, fear, and frustrations from a hard day at the restaurant to their home lives. It puts strains on marriages and relationships with kids. An industry that historically has required owners to work long hours and on weekends and holidays for very little pay, leaving us to question our decision to ever open up our restaurant or bar in the first place. From a very early age, I knew I wanted to be a chef and eventually own my own restaurants. By 28, my dream was close. Actually, I was living it. Only it looked and felt more to me and my family like a nightmare than a dream. I was operating 4 different restaurants. I thought I had made it. Only the life I was living didn't match the one I was dreaming about. It all changed for me one evening. I woke up in the middle of the night with a pain I'd never felt before. It literally felt like a bomb had gone off in my gut. I was alternating between screaming and crying. This went on for a couple of hours until my wife finally said, "That's it, we're going to the emergency room." I'd never been to the ER before. I've had 1 stitch in my life. I don't get sick, I don't get hurt, and I don't particularly like doctors, but this was as much pain as I'd ever been in. The reality was that the 4 restaurants I was operating were not doing well. We were in a hard economy, but I was also in over my head. I'd never been taught how to manage a staff of close to 100 people. I had never been taught how to properly maintain my costs, market a restaurant, or to understand the specific financials and reports of restaurants. The ER doctor said it was stress. I just needed to relax and take it easy. Maybe take a few weeks off. They put me on an acid reducer and my wife made me take the next day off. For the first time in my life, I was missing a day of work. But there was no way I could take another day or even a week off. I'll never forget that stress, that feeling of needing to rest and lay in bed, but being so worried about how the restaurant would make it through a day without me. Feelings of pain and frustration were taking over. I must have called the restaurant every hour, if not more, while pretending to be relaxing in bed. How did I get here? How did chasing and achieving my dreams put me in a jail cell? I couldn't sleep or relax. It wasn't just the pain. It was me processing the pressure I was feeling, the fear of living in the prison of my own work. I made two decisions that day. One, I needed to fix this. Two, when I do, when I figure this out, I want to share it. I need to share what I have learned with every independent restaurant owner in the world so they don't need to suffer like I have. I tried to rest, but I just kept wondering, how did I end up here? How did I end up with four restaurants serving food people loved, but struggling to make ends meet with a staff that I believed was completely incapable of doing anything right without me? My sophomore year in high school, I took some architecture classes. So by the time I was a senior, I would be able to take the advanced modeling class where I could design and build a scale model of anything I wanted. Well, I knew early on I wanted to build a restaurant. I wanted to create the scale model of my dream restaurant. I never even bothered studying for the SATs or applying to traditional four-year colleges. I knew I wanted to go to culinary school. I would watch cooking shows after school on the Food Network and cook elaborate dinners on the weekends. Heeding the advice from a book I read called Becoming a Chef, I took a summer internship at a high-end country club instead of partying with my friends who traveled through Europe all summer. I wasn't even old enough to drive to my summer jobs. My mom would drop me off and pick me up. Can you imagine how the cooks teased me at work? That's all right, I didn't care. I started to fall in love with an industry. I was reading tons of cookbooks, trying new things at home, working weekends with any chef in LA that would let me into their kitchen. And I got accepted to Johnson & Wales University during my junior year in high school. So my senior year, I didn't really do much except work on that plan for my restaurant. It was so exciting for me. I loved every second of it. Culinary school was great. I was the first freshman to get a spot on their culinary team. We did pretty well, and through the team events, I got entered into an individual cooking competition that was taking place in Dallas, Texas. I didn't win it. I made a stupid mistake. But my second place finish got me a check for $500 and a chance to eat at the Mansion on Turtle Creek, which at the time was one of the 6 or 7 five-star, five-diamond restaurants in the country. The chef at the time was Dean Fearing. I would watch him on the Food Network as a guest on other people's shows. When I had the opportunity and the finances, and I happened to be in Dallas, I wasn't going to miss this opportunity to eat at a James Beard award-winning chef's restaurant. He is still today one of the best chefs in the country. We met that evening. I dined at the restaurant and he signed a cookbook for me. He wrote, "Cook with love and chilies," then told me, "If you ever want a job, just call." I ended up doing my internship for him. When the internship ended, I returned to LA and worked at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills for a gentleman named Bill Bracken. The Peninsula is another five-star, five-diamond hotel, and Bill was another amazing chef. I say that Dean taught me how to make food taste great, and Bill taught me how to cook and manage a kitchen. I eventually got burned out and didn't want to cook in high end anymore. The money sucked, the hours sucked, and I was frustrated. It was time for me to open my own restaurant. I was 27 and ready, so I thought. I made every mistake in the book before I even got the money to open the restaurant. Then the economy tanked in 2008. I gave back every penny to the investors, even though it meant I had to cover costs 100% myself. I was not going to allow the start of my restaurant ownership career to begin with any of my investors losing even a penny. Whatever I didn't lose in the stock market, I lost trying to open that restaurant. Literally, I was just married 2 months earlier. I had been saving since I was 16 to eventually have my own restaurant. The market was growing, my money was growing, I had just gotten married and was ready. Then boom, overnight it all got taken away from me. I will never forget a night I was home alone and my wife came home to literally find me curled up on a ball on the floor shaking. I had lost everything before I even really got started. But I ended up getting connected with a developer who wanted to open up some restaurants north of Los Angeles. I took the job for him and we opened 4 restaurants in 1 year. I was the driving force in every aspect of everything from concept development to architecture to design, staffing, recipes, developing vendor relationships, training, sales, and marketing. I did it all. We opened a pizza by the slice joint, a greasy spoon burger joint, a candy and homemade chocolate shop, and a high-end wine bar and gourmet market slash bistro. The bistro eventually became known for our five-course winemaker dinners that we offered once a month for $95 a person. For a year after opening the restaurants, I literally had no life. I was working 12 to 14 hours, 6 days a week. Yeah, Sundays were technically a day off, but is it really a day off when the phone calls start at 7 a.m. with staff calling out, problems on the computers, cooks who don't know how to make things, hoods that stopped working and managers can't figure out how to fix it and the restaurant's filling up with smoke? Plus, if we had a special event on a Sunday, which happened quite often, I'd have to work. But I wasn't able to take another day off during the week. I had to just keep going. I got frustrated and would blame my staff. I thought they were all idiots and couldn't figure these things out. I found myself getting angry. I found myself becoming a person I was not proud of. I would lash out at people and call them names. I was belittling my wife at work in front of customers and coworkers. I could feel the restaurant slipping out of my control, and it was affecting me, not just at work, but at home. What I believe eventually led to my stomach pains and the trip to the emergency room was a realization that there was no end in sight. The restaurants were not doing very well, and I didn't know how to fix them. How did my dream of running multiple restaurants become my nightmare? I would need to embark on a journey to learn everything possible about operating restaurants and turning them around. I read every book, attended every seminar, stayed up late watching videos and going through audio programs on management, leadership, restaurant accounting, finances, and marketing. I interviewed every restaurant owner that was doing something better than me. I could learn something from everybody. Not just hugely successful restaurants, but restaurants that were doing one thing that I didn't know how to do well. I continued to work my 6 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, while doing all the other learning. The restaurants were starting to make more money. We developed a huge catering business that was bringing in a steady flow of business Monday to Friday. I developed outside food service contracts with the pizza and burger restaurants that took some of the pressure off the internal sales. My Sundays off were actually turning into days off. My new systems, along with my newly learned management and leadership techniques, were paying off in spades. We were finally creating enough revenue to hire a chef for the fine dining restaurant. That would free me up so I could focus on the business instead of the restaurants. But that also created a huge challenge for me. How was I ever going to trust somebody else to cook my food? This was my biggest test yet. I knew it was time for me to get even more focused on the business and less on the restaurant, but a chef cooking my food really scared me. I knew it would be crucial for me to properly hire and train the chef and set them up for success from day one. I spent every minute of the 2 weeks before the chef started perfecting the recipes, the checklist, the prep sheets, and tightening up every procedure in my kitchen, including ordering and production. I brought the crew together and explained to them what would be happening, how my role was shifting, and that the vision was to remain the same. Only a new chef would be handling most of the day-to-day responsibilities in the kitchen that I used to take care of. When he came on, it was very clear that this was my restaurant, my food, my vision, and he was hired to execute on that vision. The coming months were some of the best of my life. I was taking every other Saturday off, and I still had my Sundays, but they were actually days off. My wife and I would go out of town for a weekend and not be concerned about the restaurants. The restaurants were doing well. My hours had been cut back because of the systems that were in place. Our reviews were positive and consistent. The last year of work had yielded restaurants that were capable of running in every way without me for extended periods of time. I started talking about expansion and looking at other restaurant opportunities in as well as out of town. However, as things were getting better in the restaurant, my relationship with the owner started to fade. He was not a good person. Our disagreements about the way the restaurant should be run were more and more apparent. It was sad for me. I started to see the last 4 years of the hardest work you can imagine might not pay off for my wife and I. Not like it was supposed to. The owner, my partner in the businesses, was becoming a thorn in my side. Then one night it happened. The night I knew was coming, but hoped wouldn't. The fight was epic. The reason was stupid. The restaurant got a great glowing review in the largest newspaper circulated in our area. We got slammed. I was bussing tables, cooking, closing out checks, and seating people. A friend of the owner came into the restaurant. She wanted a table immediately. I told her it would be a few minutes. We had people in front of her. She texted him, he called me, and he wanted to talk. I told him, I'd love to talk to you later, now is not a good time. He said, no, it's perfect. I said, the restaurant's busy. We're full. We had a great review in the paper. Now is not a good time to talk. Well, he didn't care. And I said, fine. I took the call outside. I yelled at him for 20 minutes about how our priorities were different. Our values were not aligned. Anyone who would want to have this conversation at this time, I couldn't work with anymore. Anyone who would put their friends who weren't even going to be paying for dinner in front of guests who were paying customers, I couldn't work with. I threw the phone against a brick wall, returned to the kitchen, helped my chef finish the night, and then walked out of the restaurant. My past decisions of needing to figure this out and wanting to help others was no longer just a desire, it was now my mission. I learned how to take good kids that needed jobs, but were never taught how to work and turn them into amazing employees. I helped them develop skills, and many of them are flourishing today because of how I was able to help them. I learned how to turn failing restaurants into ones that thrive. I learned how to turn my nightmare into my dream again. It was time to serve others and help them create better work environments, more profitable restaurants, happier staffs, better marriages, and in the process, help to preserve the independent restaurant culture that I love so much. It pains me to see the corporates dominating the marketplace. I was finally ready to bring the best of my past training from culinary school and the 5-star hotels. While I was at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills, I worked for a gentleman that Hotel Magazine named the best general manager in the world. I needed to share this knowledge that I had and the exact systems that I used to transform the failing restaurants into successes. So every single restaurant owner who wanted more could have it. More for their family, more free time, more for their coworkers, customers, employees, and yes, more money. It wasn't very long till local restaurants heard that I was available and they wanted my help. They wanted me to show them how I built these 4 restaurants from nothing in a bad economy on the wrong side of the tracks and then turned them into the hottest places in town. The experience of opening those 4 very different restaurants over such a short period of time is what helped me formulate the roadmap I'm sharing with you over the next 7 days. I believe it took me operating such different restaurants at the same time and having worked in literally 2 of the finest hotels in the world, as well as flipping burgers in a greasy spoon joint, slinging slices of pizza in the mall, to find that commonality between all restaurants, all different kinds of restaurants. Whether they're fine dining, fast food, or anything in between, all great restaurants share certain factors that make them great. The even better news is that in my years of consulting with restaurant owners, it's safe to say that all restaurants that struggle are simply lacking in one or a few of the exact same factors that make them great. Here's what I discovered. I call them the 5 mandates to restaurant success. These are not optional areas for you to dabble in. These are mandates. And by definition, a mandate is an official order. They are musts for your restaurant to succeed. If you want to operate your restaurant with the income and profit you know you deserve, and the freedom that drove you to open your restaurant in the first place, then you must commit to mastering these 5 mandates. If you're driving, no worries, they're available in your resources section online at therestaurantboss.com. But if you're not driving, write them down. You know, writing things down really helps with your memory. The first is leadership. The second is systems. The third is excellence. The fourth is service. And the fifth is distinction. I want to just take a second to clarify what each mandate means to you as a restaurant owner. But keep in mind, we'll be going much deeper in each of the areas as they'll be sprinkled throughout the entire program. The first is leadership. A leader is a person who has a vision with the drive, commitment, and resolution to achieve that vision, in addition to the necessary skills. Whereas a manager is a person who's responsible for controlling or administering all or part of a company, persons, event, department, or project, day to day, task by task. The difference might appear to be subtle, but it's huge. Leaders have a vision, drive, commitment, and resolution, plus the needed skills to achieve the vision, while the manager basically is tasked with administrating and controlling the day-to-day tasks. Think of leadership as the rudder on your restaurant ship. Leadership creates a compelling future for the staff through vision and then uses all their resources to ensure that vision becomes a reality. The entire third CD is dedicated to leadership. It's that important. A business cannot succeed without a motivated and efficient staff. Mandate two was systems. Systems create freedom, and ultimately freedom is what creates value. After all, isn't that why we decided to open up our own restaurant? Because we wanted freedom, the freedom to do what we want when we want. Without systems, our staff can't make decisions the way we want them to make decisions. So they call us or don't take any action at all. When they do take action and make decisions, they're often wrong or not how we would have wanted them to be done. I used to blame the staff. Then I realized I never published the rules for them to follow. I never set them up for making successful decisions by giving them systems and frameworks to operate within. You see, systems are black and white. They're right or wrong. There's no room for ambiguity, which is why they're so much easier to manage than people. Again, we're going to get into much more on this later. Mandate three is excellence. Excellence has nothing to do with price point or what you're serving. Excellence is simply a commitment to being the best at everything you do. If you're a fast casual restaurant with a budget-conscious customer, then be committed to giving them the best food you can afford for what they're willing to pay. Offer them the friendliest service and the cleanest environment. Excellence is about trying to get their food out 5 seconds faster every day while maintaining or even improving the quality and consistency. Plus, do not confuse excellence with a specific measure of quality against anything other than yourself and your direct competition. Mandate four is service. Service needs to come from the heart. It's not something you fake. You have to want to serve, but service doesn't just mean delivering food to your guests. Service is so much more. Listen to this quote. A customer is the most important visitor on our premises. He is not dependent on us. We are dependent on him. He is not an interruption in our work. He is the purpose of it. He is not an outsider in our business. He is part of it. We are not doing him a favor by serving him. He is doing us a favor by giving us an opportunity to do so. That quote's from Gandhi. Service is about being generous with your time, with your heart, and wanting to help. Help your young employees grow into responsible adults or developing your veterans into better positions. It's about giving when you don't always want to, but your family, customers, coworkers, and community need you to. Service is a mindset that you can never turn off. Service is about treating your employees and vendors as well as you would treat a guest. Mandate five is distinction. Without distinction, you'll never pull away from the pack in a meaningful enough way to make the living you deserve. Distinction can be demonstrated not only in the food served or how it's prepared, but in the ambiance of the restaurant, the price points, location, advertising, marketing, branding, decor, or about 1,000 other ways. But too many restaurants just don't do a good enough job letting their community know how distinct they actually are. They allow themselves to become a commodity, which instantly devalues their efforts. Do you really care what brand of potatoes you use or what gas station you visit when your tank is empty? Those are examples of commodities. They have no value other than price. I work with restaurants all the time that tell me they can't raise prices or they rely on coupons and even consider lowering prices to attract more business. Stop valuing your restaurant on price alone and spend time educating your customer about what makes you different and what makes you better. Let's look at Chipotle. At the end of the day, it's really just a burrito restaurant, but in my opinion, they're the best positioned brand in the restaurant marketplace right now. They exemplify the five mandates: leadership, systems, excellence, service, and distinction, which is why their brand literally exploded worldwide in the past decade, and they're able to open one store a day. Steve Ells, the founder and co-CEO, started out just like you, with a small store, a shoestring budget, and a loan from his parents. He didn't start Chipotle with plans to be one of the largest and most influential restaurant brands in the world. He just wanted to do things a little better than his neighbors and make enough money to build his fine dining dream restaurant. So he focused on his systems to keep consistency up and prices down. He focused on buying the best ingredients he could afford. He trained his staff to be generous and friendly, as well as get them involved in community-based events. He brought distinction to his store by keeping it clean, using white tiles and stainless steel. He knew his competition had stores that were dark and dingy, so he built his to be fresh, clean, and modern. Leadership, systems, excellence, service, and distinction are your keys to becoming an amazing restaurant. You show me a restaurant that's struggling, they're falling short in one of those five areas. You show me a restaurant that is exploding, that is doing really well, and they're mastering all five of these areas. There's lots of programs, theories, or other experts who will make claims about how they can help your restaurant. They claim that it will be easy to implement and you'll get overnight results. This program is not one of them. I already promised that I'm going to share with you everything, and I will, but I want to make you another promise. This 7-day program is going to be simple to understand and simple to use. Just put the CD in your player and push play, but it will not be easy for you to find the time and belief that you can do this. I've done my best to make it as simple as possible for you to implement most of the strategies, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy or get you results quickly. When I decided to make my research, knowledge, and life lessons about how to achieve greater levels of success, joy, and freedom in the restaurant business available at a price that everyone could afford, not just my one-on-one clients, I wanted to share proven, tested techniques that work 100% of the time, not the overnight stories of luck or the get-rich-quick magic pills. I didn't want to just provide you examples of what the biggest restaurants in the world are doing today. That doesn't help you much. I want to give you specific, grounded tactics that work. I want to share with you examples of successful restaurants, but what they were doing when they were small that leads to their success. I'm only interested in you creating a lifetime of success, not a fleeting moment's reprieve from something that's a thorn in your side today. My life's work is about creating lasting change and helping restaurant owners improve the quality of their lives and those closest to them. So please don't confuse simple with easy. The next 7 days are going to be work. They're going to push you and make you question everything you're currently doing. The solutions might sound simple, and most of them are. But I want to promise you that achieving the results might not be so easy. Even though every example and strategy that I'm going to present and share with you are simple, they're going to take work, time, effort, and management. I can assure you, it's worth it. One of my favorite authors and speakers today is Brendon Burchard. He's one of the world's leading high-performance coaches, and in his book, The Charge, he says, "When you knock on the door to opportunity, don't be surprised when it's work who answers." I love that quote. And I love that success is not easy, which is exactly why I love that success only comes after years and years of hard work, failure, and missteps, and doubts. It's because most people just won't do it. They won't do the work. Most people will quit right before they have a huge breakthrough. Most people will never start because all they focus on are the challenges. Most people will change course the first time they fail. Most people will just not put in the work it takes to succeed. Will you? Will you put in a new CD every day for the next 7 days and listen to this and take the notes and do the exercises? And more importantly, take the knowledge that you learn here back to your restaurant and achieve the results. You won't really enjoy it unless you work hard for it. You won't know what success is until you failed. Anything worth having is worth working for. Those are just three of the millions of cliches regarding hard work and success. But I have news for you. They're all true. So I need you to make me a promise right now. Actually, don't make me the promise. I want you to promise yourself a couple of things. First, you'll listen to the entire program. Some insane percentage, like 80% of people, don't even open programs they buy, and some even higher percentage, like 90%, won't finish them once they start. I purposely recorded this program on CD to make it as simple as possible for you to listen in your car, in your office or at home. Many of you also have access to the program online through your membership portal at therestaurantboss.com, making it even easier to download it into your iTunes account and listen on your phone or anywhere with an internet connection. You also might not know this, but with iTunes or any other digital player, there's an ability to speed up the program. I know that a lot of you, like me, are short on time, so you can listen to this at 1.25 or 1.5 speed and still really understand it, but get through it a little bit quicker. So please make the promise right now that you'll finish the program. If you can do it in 7 days, it'll be that much better. The content and training builds on itself. So I've designed this to be listened to in a short period of time. But I understand life can get in the way. So just promise yourself right now that you'll listen to the whole program, even if you get busy one day. Missing a day at the gym will only throw off your whole diet if you miss the next day also. 2, I need you to promise yourself that you'll be honest, that you'll answer the questions and do the exercises with honesty and integrity. If you pad the answers to make yourself feel better, you'll only be letting yourself and your family down. The last promise is that you'll get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Some of the facts are tough to swallow, especially if you're being honest. Some of the stories might ring a bit too true for you. As I dig deeper into the mandates of success, you might not be happy with how you're currently handling some of them in your restaurant. As I go deeper with leadership, you might be making some of these unfortunate mistakes yourself. As we dig into finances, you might not even know what some of the formulas or words are. That's fine. That's why you're here. We cannot fix what we don't even know is broken. So just get comfortable with it. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And then I like to add this little part. And the weak give up. I never understood the saying until my only AM cook called out sick at 4 AM in the morning for his 5 AM shift. Normally, that just meant I'd go into work a few hours early. It's not a big deal. Except that was the busiest day in the restaurant's history. I had 3 outside events in the same night, and the restaurant was going to be full on a Friday dinner service. I was borrowing cooks from other restaurants to help with all the catering. I would be out till 1 or 2 in the morning, and now I had to cover his 5 a.m. shift because there was no one else to help. We've all done it. We've all been in those situations where we have no choice. Do you really have the choice to ignore this program? To come back to it in a year only to realize you've missed another year of your life, not being lived to its fullest because of the demands at your restaurant? I'm telling you right now, if you're not happy with anything in your restaurant, you have to bring that same attitude, that whatever it takes attitude to this program. Promise yourself right now that you'll not just treat this as some other thing that you have to do, but you'll listen to 1 CD a day, except for marketing, which is 2 CDs, and that you'll be honest with yourself and be okay with the fact that it won't always be easy. If you need a little extra inspiration, make a promise to your spouse or to your kids that today is the day you begin the process of turning your restaurant around, of turning it into a great business. It'll take work. It'll take time. It won't always be easy. But like Brendon Burchard said, when you knock on the door to opportunity, don't be surprised when it's work who answers. Up until the last 10 years or so, the results we would get for our effort were somewhat in line with the quality or quantity or amount of effort we put in. For lack of a better word, they were fair. Output was equal to input. Income was equivalent to effort. If you were a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker and you made a good product, you could sell it for a good price. If you made an excellent product, you could sell it for an excellent price. And of course, if you made a poor product or offered a poor level of service, you would get poor results. The rules were fair and they were published for everybody to understand. Free market societies operated like this for nearly all of eternity until about 10 years ago, when the entire world got connected and became much smaller. And not just connected and able to communicate with each other, we became able to communicate instantly and share knowledge and information around the entire world for free. This ability to communicate quickly, cheaply, and easily expands out markets and makes a small business's reach huge. In case you haven't noticed, it's getting more and more competitive, making it harder and harder to get fair value for our products and services. It's a lot easier to enter the market and get loans today than ever before. It's easier to produce a high-quality marketing piece and advertisements that reach customers on a very, very modest budget. With the advent and popularity of social media, anybody with an internet connection and a few spare minutes, along with some creativity, can spread their message with literally no budget at all. This is amazing and has allowed some incredibly talented people and companies opportunities that were simply not a reality a few years ago. I just recently heard a statistic from an executive at Google that the world creates the same amount of content every 48 hours as it did from the dawn of time till 2010. That fact was published in The Thank You Economy, which is a book written by Gary Vaynerchuk back in 2011. Can you imagine what that is now? Maybe that level of content is created every 24 hours or even less. By the way, on a side note, The Thank You Economy is a fantastic book, again, by Gary Vaynerchuk. You should definitely read it. What this means is that as easy as it is to get a product or service to market today compared to years past, it's that much more difficult to stand out in the crowd, to be seen, heard, and in our case, get our food tasted and our customers taken care of. It also means that with all the quality being brought to the market on a daily basis, with all that knowledge and resources at our fingertips instantly and cheaply, most of the time for free, it's that much harder to impress our customers. A few years back, I started to talk about what I later termed the Food Network effect. An entire generation of folks who grew up watching the Food Network are the ones making the decisions today. This new generation of foodies has an enormous effect on the industry as a whole and your restaurant specifically in ways you haven't even begun to imagine. First, the Food Network effect created a new breed of talent, a group of people that for 10 to 15 years have been hitting the restaurant workforce with creativity and passion like the world has never seen before. Your local diner could hire professionally trained, creative, hardworking young men and women that just a few years ago would never have even considered a career in food. It's catapulted that career that, for the most part, before the Food Network was reserved for immigrant labor and people with no other opportunities in life, to celebrity status. Chefs were previously left in kitchens to sweat over hot stoves. They got their training in the military or in prisons. Becoming a chef was not a career choice. It was kind of something that happened to you. They were not respected for their talents, abilities, and hardworking ethics until the Food Network made them into celebrities. Second, everybody today is a critic. You may tell yourself they don't know what they're talking about when they write a negative review about your restaurant online, but let me be the first to inform you. They are very well educated on the topic of food and restaurants, and most of the time, they do know what they're talking about. Most of these critics are more like you and me than you want to believe. They grew up watching talents like Emeril Lagasse on The Essence of Emeril, or Mary Sue Milken and Susan Fenniger on The Two Hot Tamales, or Ming Tsai on East Meets West. Others are experiencing this incredible new wave of talent on television that not only entertains viewers, but informs them. In turn, this is escalating the knowledge and expectations of your guests. They are all knowledgeable and enjoy cooking at home more than ever. Today, the entire world is watching food on television. There are too many celebrity chefs to name and too many shows to watch. I have two channels at home dedicated to food 24 hours a day. Plus, just about every cable channel on TV offers some type of food, restaurant, or chef contestant show. I think they call these now chef-testant shows. Even the major networks are jumping in on the revolution. Water cooler chat at the office is not just about last night's drama or comedy anymore, but about what some guy on Top Chef cooked. There are thousands of blogs and YouTube channels dedicated to cooking. They range from no-budget, stay-at-home moms showing you how to put a meal on the table for less than $5 to network television chefs with huge budgets posting videos and blogs about their favorite meals and how to cook them. Home cooks have access to recipes and techniques from the world's greatest for free. If you want to learn how to make ice cream using liquid nitrogen, somebody out there has a molecular gastronomy blog and video series that will show you how to do it. Let's just say somebody wanted to learn how to make classic French dishes. Until this recent generation, the person would most likely have to go to a bookstore, find some big, thick, expensive, boring French cookbook with black and white photos of a classic, dated, and boring French dish. More recently, in the past 10 years, whether a chef at home or anyone could find a book explaining in great detail these techniques with photography that would blow your mind. We owe a lot of this to Thomas Keller for creating the French Laundry Cookbook. It's one of the most gorgeous cookbooks of its time and might just be forever. It has set the bar so high on what food photography is about. A few weeks ago, I wanted to make my wife breakfast in bed. I wanted to impress her with something gorgeous. All I had were a few eggs and some cheese. Literally, I had nothing else in the house. I've been a professional chef in some of the country's best kitchens for some of the best chefs. I've been cooking for a long time and have a solid foundation of skills. Eggs are something I take very seriously. They're easy to cook, but as described earlier, easy is not easy to do well. So based on my available ingredients, I knew it would be an omelet. I've always been happy with my omelets, but I remembered seeing an omelet on TV a few days ago that was just sexy. It was gorgeous, like nothing I'd ever seen or had ever been able to create myself. It honestly blew my mind. So standing in the kitchen, I grabbed my iPad, Googled French omelet, and came across a video of Jacques Pepin cooking an omelet. He demonstrated techniques I'd never seen before. It simply blew my mind. 20 years in the business and $50,000 of debt to culinary school, and I just learned in 3 minutes for free how to make the most gorgeous, amazing omelet you can imagine. My wife was blown away. I was blown away. And I was most excited that I didn't have to spend $30 on breakfast at a local restaurant that would not have even come close to that omelet, that simple omelet I just made for her. Like I said, I know I'm a professionally trained chef, and you may be saying to yourself, well, no one else would actually do that. At the time of recording this, that video had 1.8 million views. So I'm not the only one looking and watching. Those videos are being created because people watch them. Maybe they don't cook the ingredients and the dishes that they see in those videos, but they see the results and ask why the food at their local restaurant doesn't look like that. I shared that video with 5 or 6 of my friends that also love food. To my knowledge, not one of them has cooked the omelet like Jacques Pepin showed you in the video, but every single one wrote back and said, I've eaten all over the world and I've never seen an omelet like that. It was gorgeous. Guess what, folks? Your customers have that same level of access instantly to the world's best for free. And if you're not serving it to them, they're not coming back. Even if they're not actively seeking it out, content that good ends up in front of them. The question I have for you is, why aren't you watching the restaurant shows and YouTube videos? Why isn't your chef when your customers are? If you are watching them and staying up with trends, then ask yourself this question. Is what I'm seeing on TV and the internet what I'm serving to my guests? Please don't instantly write this off and tell yourself that your restaurant isn't like that, that you don't serve fancy or modern food. There is somebody, somewhere, pushing the envelope in some small town with less. Find them. Model what they are doing, because your customers are watching. Plus, it's not about fancy or modern. It's about following the trends and serving your customers what they want in today's market. The easiest way to find out what they want is to watch what they're watching. Wendy's is serving a sandwich on ciabatta bread with a roasted garlic, sun-dried tomato aioli, baby greens, and provolone cheese. Carl's Jr. is baking buns fresh in their restaurant. A few years ago, dishes like that you would hear or see on a menu at 5-star hotels, not in fast food. You can't open your Facebook or Instagram account without seeing a picture of a friend's meal at some restaurant somewhere in the world. Food is everywhere today. But when people take pictures of food and share it with their friends, it's not a picture of the blue plate special at the local diner. That's boring old news. The most viral food images come in one of two categories. It's either food that is so beautiful, the dish itself should be hanging in a museum and the picture should be featured on the cover of a magazine. Like the omelet I shared with my friends, it was nothing fancy. It had no microgreens or compressed fruit on it. It was just beautiful. Google Jacques Pepin French omelet later today and watch the video. You'll see what I mean. Incorporate it into your restaurant. It's nothing difficult to do. It's a very simple technique. The second category for food that gets shared most often falls into a category that I call gooey, crispy, crunchy, salty, cheesy goodness. These are all the items that are so sinful and over the top, only the brave would attempt to devour them. Something so stupid and insane like the Excalibur burger served at the Gold Rush Cafe in Paducah, Kentucky. Kenneth and Anita White are the owners and chefs at the Gold Rush. It's in as small of a town as you can imagine. I'm talking Midwest, conservative, simple manufacturing town in Kentucky. Kenneth and his wife work the restaurant open to close 6 days a week. The only reason they have a day off is because they're closed on Monday. On a side note, we've been working together for about 3 months now, and they're taking an extra day off. Plus, their sales are up over 15% in 3 months. They have no marketing budget. They have well over 1,000 fans on Facebook and post pictures of these over-the-top specials like the Excalibur burger. It's two burger patties sandwiched between two grilled cheeses with a fried egg and bacon on it. Every time he runs that special and posts it to his Facebook page, he gets multiple shares and the restaurant sees a spike in business over the next few days. Not everybody orders the Excalibur burger, but it's exciting enough content that it gets in front of eyeballs on Facebook. People share it and comment about it, and it gets them thinking about his restaurant. There is one other type of food photos and experiences commonly shared over social media, and those are the bad ones. Sure, we are all going to make mistakes. No kitchen is perfect. No restaurant is perfect. Unfortunately, if you make that mistake for the wrong person, it can go viral fast. We're going to discuss this in great detail throughout the program and tackle the psychology behind why people spread negative reviews and how to best combat it from happening to you online. But what I'm seeing more and more over the last couple of years is not mistakes, but food and experiences that just don't measure up to expectations. Recently, I've been experiencing a rush of clients who have the best intentions and are actually doing a very good job of executing and training their team. The challenge is they're executing presentations, quality, flavors, and experiences that are below the bar. Even when the entire team does everything perfectly as they're supposed to, it's just not good enough anymore. As I mentioned, the water cooler chat is no longer about who's sleeping with who on the evening soaps. It's about restaurants in your town. Shows like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives are showcasing hole-in-the-wall joints that are pumping out insane, made-from-scratch food. Customers see it on TV, are getting better at cooking at home, and vote with their dollars and voices. When their local restaurants are not meeting their expectations, they simply don't go. The corporate chains are doing a great job, and the quality of ready-to-eat food at the grocery stores is getting better and better. They're avoiding the places that don't offer them the quality they expect and are flocking to those that do. They vote with their wallets and their opinions online. Every time somebody shares a picture or comments on Yelp, they're casting a vote. Every time they download a recipe and go to the grocery store instead of eating in your restaurant, they're casting a vote. Plus, today, we have access to ingredients you just could not find 10 years ago, thanks, of course, to the Food Network. The difference is instead of needing to tell 10 friends individually about a positive or negative experience, which we still do, it only takes 30 seconds to post it online for 100 or 1,000 of their friends and strangers to see. The combination of the quality of food being produced along with our ability to share and consume information is creating the most demanding and educated diner ever. Combine this new level of access with a society that expresses emotions in 140 characters or less, hiding behind the protection of our screen name, and you have the Food Network effect combined with the thank you economy. And this combination creates what I'll refer to throughout the book as the expectation economy. By the way, if you're not aware of the 140 characters or less analogy, that's the maximum number of characters Twitter allows a user to post in a tweet. So if before this massive explosion of content, creativity, and quality that's flooding the market in the form of competition and expectations, we got rewarded somewhat equally for the amount of effort we put in, what's happening today? I should warn you, this principle is not very popular amongst the general population. When I share it on stage or with employees and business owners, they sometimes get a little offended and don't agree, but here it goes. Remember in the old days I talked about earlier, before this expectation economy evolved into what it is today? If you were good at your job, if you offered good food, if you offered good customer service, good drinks, if you ran a good restaurant, you would get good results, meaning you could make a living for your family. But now, in the expectation economy, you're likely getting poor results for good efforts. If your restaurant has been open for 5 years or more and has not changed much, chances are that you have to work harder and are under more stress while bringing home less results in the form of pay or freedom. Basically, you're getting rewarded one step below your effort or your output. Knowing the rules to this new game is the first step, so I want to clearly spell out the rules for you. In order to return good results, you have to be great. In order to return great results, you have to be excellent. By excellent, I mean 10 steps ahead of your competition. Excellent means you're not delivering what the customer expects, but you're blowing them away. Excellent means customers are writing in a 6th star on your feedback form that only asks them to rate the experience 1 through 5. Excellent means you're pushing the envelope every day to get better, to go the extra mile, to engage with your customers in a manner and on the platforms that they want to be engaged with. It's not enough to provide your guests with great customer service. Your customer service has to be excellent. Are you still saying things to your staff like the customer is always right? The customer is always right. So what? If they don't like their burger, you'll get them a new one. If your server made a mistake, they'll replace it with the correct item and buy them dessert. So what? That's commonplace. The customer expects it. And as much as you may think they take advantage of it, and there are some that do, most of the time customers don't. Your customers are willing to pay for quality, but you have to deliver it. Your customers are not looking for a way out of paying. They're looking to be wowed. So even when you do everything right, even when you treat the customer as the king and replace their overcooked burger and buy them dessert, why do they turn to an online review site like Yelp and give you a bad review? Simple. Good is not good enough anymore. Your good service was just average to them. The internet, Food Network, television, and access to this amazing information from all over the world has spoiled your customers, and you have to do even better than you did before. It's because the customer has become accustomed to having their voice and their opinions heard by many, not just one. They love to get that thumbs up on Facebook and TripAdvisor and Yelp. Nothing validates them as a significant person more than their friends or even their strangers telling them that their opinion mattered. Or as Yelp allows you to do, click here if this review was helpful. Do you know that Yelp's added a feature with 3 new buttons: useful, funny, or cool? That's right, funny or cool. Yelp is messing with your lives, giving your customers the ability to click funny or cool. What do you think that does to people who are posting? They want to be helpful, sure, but they also want to be funny and cool. Who doesn't? Well, to be funny or cool these days online, you sometimes have to say some pretty outrageous things. So good is not good enough anymore. Your customer expects excellent, but you have to be prepared to accept that even excellence will not yield you excellent results. It will only yield you good results. This is the part that angers most owners today and leaves them throwing their hands up and asking, what else can I do? That means you'll have to work even harder or smarter today to achieve the same results of yesterday. I know that it's difficult, sad, and depressing, but it is the reality, and you're in the right place for answers. Here's some good news. At the end of this, tomorrow, I'll be sharing with you what those next steps are, what the next steps above excellent is, and how a little tiny extra effort in combination with the right strategies will not get you excellent results as the pattern suggests, but will get you everything you've ever wanted, all the money or freedom you deserve and work hard for. Plus, on day 4, when we tackle marketing, I'll tell you exactly how to play in the sandbox with Yelp while they're purposefully building a website that's designed to make your life more difficult. But before we get into that, I have a little homework for you today. It's very simple. I just want you to take 10 minutes as soon as this is over. You can do this while you're driving over the phone, though I would prefer you write it down on a piece of paper and meet with people face to face. But remember, we've had this conversation. I want you to be honest with yourself and seek honest opinions. This is called a 360 analysis because you're going to ask people in all directions of you a question, including yourself. Here's the question. On a whole, Is your restaurant doing a poor job, a good job, a great job, or an excellent job? I want you to answer this yourself. Then I want you to ask at least two people who work for you, two trustworthy and honest family members or friends, two customers, and two people that are, for a lack of better word, above you. Let me explain that for a second. They can be people who you look up to in the community, other more successful business owners, or maybe even their investors in your restaurant. If you had a boss, this would be them. Then I want you to brainstorm about the five mandates for just a couple of minutes and determine where you believe you can improve and why you haven't done the job as well as you should. Maybe you thought you were doing better, but because of something you heard today during your 360 analysis or something you heard in this program, you realize your perception might have been different from today's customers and their expectations. Maybe you heard some things from people that you did not expect to hear and you need to develop some new skills or knowledge. Maybe you find that you have the wrong people in their positions. Whatever your answers, whatever the reasons, I just want you to familiarize yourself with your restaurant a bit more on a more intimate level from people in different positions than you have in the past. Okay. Promise me you'll do this. It's your first homework assignment. You have to do this. Go ahead, say it. Ryan, I promise. Did you say it? Did you say it out loud? Ryan, I promise. No, seriously, go ahead, say it. Say, Ryan, I promise I'll do this. Okay, great. Congratulations on making it through the first day of your restaurant owner's roadmap. Please be sure to visit our website, therestaurantboss.com, for resources. Or to get involved with the community, go to the Facebook page for The Restaurant Boss. Post some comments or questions. See what other listeners are talking about. Remember, I'm here to help and I'm honored to coach you as you work toward achieving your own restaurant goals. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. But until then, every day in your business, create, manage, and master your systems while being the leader to your staff. Ask yourself in everything you do if you're dabbling or mastering. And every day in your life, tell somebody how much you love them. Do something that brings a smile to your face and be a little bit more of a good person than you were yesterday. This program, in its entirety, is copyright protected. 2014 Authentic Restaurant Concepts, Inc.